It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
One, is it possible that 285,000 Americans, possibly including you, have had a political enema? Two, might we all soon be wearing tux suits? Three, Manchester City, champions of England, perhaps soon, champions of Europe. It's the Will Cain Podcast on Fox News Podcast. What's up? And welcome to Monday. As always, I hope you will download, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your audio entertainment. Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast. Over the weekend, I did a line of nostalgia. I mainlined the 80s. I watched the movie Air, starring Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Jason Bateman, about Nike's pursuit of Michael Jordan, about the birth of Air Jordan. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie, mostly for any of us who lived through the 80s. I was never very big on the 80s. I was young. But something about the culture, the fashion, the music, the style, it didn't resonate with me. I wasn't a Duran Duran fan. I just wasn't that into Depeche Mode. I just didn't feel it, man. I'm not here to say I didn't have a pair of parachute pants. Of course, I did that. But I don't look back necessarily, you know, with nostalgia, with fondness at the 1980s. But watching Air made me feel much, much more simpatico with that era. All throughout the movie, they're pumping music through that I couldn't help but smile. You got Money for Nothing by Dire Straits, Legs by ZZ Top, Sister Christian by Night Ranger. You just find yourself smiling at every transitional scene. I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore by REO Speedwagon. You just keep going and going. And you got Phil Knight wearing Windbreaker from ankle to shoulder. It's a good movie. It's fun. And it's about really one of the most groundbreaking moments, not just in sports history, but in pop culture history in America. The decision ultimately by Michael Jordan not to go with Adidas, his number one choice, not to go with Converse, his number two choice, but to choose this little running company out of Beaverton, Oregon, who had a small 15% of the basketball market pie, and turn it into the behemoth that it is today based on the back of the cultural icon Air Jordan. You know, I think I am a nostalgia guy in general. I love listening to music that talks about the past, that makes you think about the past. I think there are kind of two different people in the world, those that look backward and those that look forward. Now, I'm ambitious and I look forward and I work for tomorrow, but when I relax, I definitely look backwards. When I'm driving down the road listening to music, I definitely reminisce. And I guess that not everybody feels that way, because to me, it sounds like an obvious thing that we all may do, but I don't guess that everybody enjoys looking backwards. A lot of people enjoy the idea of a future filled with AI and modern technology. I'm watching Succession, and there was this line by Logan Roy, the patriarch of the Roy family, the founder of Waystar Royco, a fictional media conglomerate. And he's being celebrated at one point in his career, receiving a plaque back in his hometown in Scotland. And he's talking to his daughter about celebrating his accomplishments in the past. And he had this line. I wanted to look it up because it stuck there, you know, I don't know, like a thorn. And he said, the past, there's just so much of it. The future is real, but the past, well, it's all made up. And I just found that so interesting, because it's the opposite of my instinct. The past is real. It happened. It's been recorded. It's objective. It's unchangeable. The future is unknown. The future isn't real because it isn't written. But in a very cynical way, what Logan Roy said about the past and the future can be accurate. I mean, the past, as far as we know it, is really just our memory of it, how we've rewritten it in our mind, how we've filled it with sunsets and sunrises and golden nostalgia. And history is written by some man, usually the victor. We're getting one story, one side, one version of most of the past. And although the future is unknown, it's still a blank page that you can write. And that makes it real. Nobody can yet interpret or distort the future because it's unknown. And that makes it real. I don't know that I agree with Logan Roy. I'm not telling you the way I think it should be. But whereas his children, Kendall and Siobhan and Roman Roy, are cretinous individuals whose dialogue is filled with yas and uh-huhs and constant seeking of affirmation, Logan Roy was one thing. He was a rock pushing forward into the future, and it made me think a little bit about the nature of the past versus the future and why I look back with so fondness, even when it's filled with silly things like windbreaker suits and Duran Duran and Depeche Mode. But I would go watch, if you have time. Air. Story number one. Is it possible that 285,000 Americans, including yourself, have been the subject of a political enema? News this week revealed that in addition to the attempt to swing a presidential election in 2016, the possible manipulation of a presidential election in 2020. But FBI abuses include the illegal search, the illegal monitoring of almost 250,000 Americans through the inappropriate use of FISA search warrants to go into our lives. It's worth noting for a moment and stepping back and understanding, what is a FISA search warrant? How does the FBI get access to infiltrating, for example, our phones? The FISA court is an opaque and somewhat complicated process set up in the 1970s and really exploded through the war on terror in 2001, wherein if the federal government thinking you have a connection to a foreign suspect, someone connected to a foreign government or perhaps terrorism, if connected to a foreign suspect, they can apply to a FISA court for a search warrant to go into your communications. Now, this isn't necessarily the purview of the FBI. The FBI is a law enforcement organization that takes up cases that have a beginning and an end. That's the description of the traditional understanding of the FBI, according to Steve Friend. He is an FBI whistleblower that testified before Congress this week. He was on Fox and Friends this weekend, and he said one of the things that we are learning about the FBI is that it's no longer a law enforcement organization, but now it's a domestic intelligence service. And he distinguished for us the difference between law enforcement and intelligence. As I said, law enforcement works on a case-by-case basis with a beginning and an end. An intelligence operation like the CIA or the NSA is an ongoing process of collecting more information in order to thwart off potential cases in the future. It's not the traditional purview of the FBI, but the FBI has increasingly, in Steve Friend's estimation as a former agent, has become a domestic intelligence service. And what have they done with that? Well, what they can do is go before the FISA court, which Jason Chaffetz, who once sat on the subcommittee in Congress this week overseeing the FISA courts, told me isn't actually a court. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to witness. It's one judge sitting in a secure facility looking over documents, looking over applications, and approving search warrants at a rate well above, listen to me as I choose these words specifically and purposefully, well above 99%. How do you get well above 99%? Meaning, like, over decades, the number of FISA search warrants that have been declined by a FISA judge are like in the maybe double digits, Not many. Not many. Not adding up to more than 1%. So it becomes a rubber stamp. And so it puts a lot on the FBI as to what kind of judgment they have about their charter, about their job. Are they supposed to be looking into Americans like, for example, protesters at BLM rallies? Even if we expanded that description to rioters at BLM rallies. Even if we even expanded that description to Antifa at BLM rallies. The idea of a FISA search warrant was tied to the idea that you have a connection with a foreign suspect. But what we now know, for example, is 113 protesters at BLM rallies were subjected to FISA warrants inappropriately. But that pales in comparison to 19,000 people who donated to a political campaign, a candidate running for Congress. We do not know the name of that candidate. That was not revealed. But a candidate running for Congress and 19,000 donations made to the campaign for that candidate. Who knows? Did you donate to a candidate that now is under investigation by the FBI? Are you now under investigation because you donated to that candidate? Well, 19,000 people were subjected to a FISA search warrant. How about this? 23,000 people that were in some way connected to January 6th. Maybe they attended the rally that day. They didn't necessarily have to enter the Capitol. Certainly there's no requirement that they were a rioter, that they vandalized, that they broke property. Certainly not a requirement that they interrupted a government proceeding. But even if any did any of that, it would be an inappropriate use of a FISA search warrant unless there's a connection to a foreign suspect. But 23,000 people were subjected to these searches. Now, what does the FISA search warrant allow them to do? Well, anything. They can go into your phone remotely. They can go into your communications, your texts, your emails. They can monitor you through your home. They can wiretap your phone calls. They can go into anything and monitor you through the rubber stamp that is the FISA search warrant process, even if now we know you had no connection to a foreign suspect. That, as described, turns the FBI into a domestic surveillance, a domestic intelligence operation, spying on American citizens, phishing, looking for a crime you might have committed without probable cause. That is not how it's supposed to work. That is not as protected as an American citizen should be protected by the United States Constitution. Jason Chaffetz called what happens with one of these searches a political enema. Anybody that goes through this process, anybody that's subjected to this process. And then he said, think about how many times Donald Trump was subjected to these types of searches, these FISA search warrants, and everyone around him. Names have become famous, right? Steve Bannon, Paul Manafort, whatever. And through all of that, all of those processes, all of those searches, what did they come up with directly about Donald Trump? Virtually nothing. I mean, he has been subjected to the biggest political enema of all time, and they come up with nothing. And by extension, you might draw a logical conclusion that he could be one of the cleanest presidents ever elected in the United States of America. I mean, Bill Clinton hasn't been subjected to that type of search, and pure speculation here, but I doubt it would come back completely clean. Barack Obama hasn't been subjected to that kind of search. We know Joe Biden has not been subjected to that kind of investigation, even with certain probable cause to look into his business dealings. But the real story, as always, is less about Donald Trump and more about you. Have you been subjected? Have I been subjected? Will we be subjected to this type of surveillance and intelligence by an organization whose charter and purpose is to protect Americans from crime, not go looking for crime by breaking the constitutional protections available to Americans. Is it possible that we've all been subjected to the biggest political enema in history?
We'll be right back with more of the Will Cain Podcast.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Story number two. Will we all soon be wearing tux swimsuits? Adidas now is apparently making and marketing swimsuits for trans women, men dressing up as women who want to wear bikinis or one-piece swimming suits and need to know what to do with their bits and pieces. Adidas is marketing these swimsuits with a tag on it. You can go into apparently Target stores and others and find it with, of course, the ever-evolving trans flag as a signifier that you have found a suit with tucking ability. I honestly don't even know with full knowledge what that means. I did see Silence of the Lambs, so I have some idea of what it means to tuck. And I think it means backwards, not forwards. That would make sense. So pockets built into these swimsuits and marketed, I believe, for a pretty broad age range. This is just so gross and so perverse that we have now arrived. I said to some of my co-hosts this weekend as we talked about this story on Fox and Friends, can you believe we're talking about this? We're talking about it on a mainstream major news channel on a morning program. This would have been said to be less than 5 years ago, completely inappropriate. And why newsworthy? Like, that's the kind of stuff you would go into a kink store in Greenwich Village to find. But it is newsworthy because it's an ever-expanding group of Americans apparently looking for things like tux swimsuits and finding them in places like Target. And it's seen as the modern day civil rights movement. So it is, I guess, now appropriate to talk about tucking. And this is what it got me thinking about. A few months ago here on the Will Cain Podcast, we talked about the power of the intransigent minority. How if the majority just goes along, what happens is mass market trends start to cater to the intransigent minority, those that make the most noise or won't purchase something if it isn't accommodating their demands. A couple of examples of that is how you can look into your fridge and see the different packaged goods on there. And I believe it's, I can't remember what the letter is off the top. Is it a K with a circle? How many of your products that you buy without knowledge are kosher? Now, you know, what is it? 1% of the American population is Jewish, and I don't know what percentage of the Jewish population maintains a kosher diet, but we're talking about a very, very, very small minority. And yet, a great many amount of our products are, without our knowledge, kosher. It's not a problem, but the fact that it's not a problem is why it happens. The majority isn't demanding it. The majority doesn't care. The majority won't decline to buy a product because it is kosher, but that very small intransigent minority will decline to buy a product if it isn't kosher. So the dietary requirements of a very small minority become the dietary availability options for the mass majority based upon the intransigence of a minority. Here's another example where once you boarded a plane and they gave you peanuts and a drink, they now no longer serve peanuts. Why? Because there's a very small minority of people that have an extreme allergic reaction to peanuts. I don't remember huge peanut allergies when we were kids, but now it's a big thing for people to have peanut allergies. So now we all eat pretzels on planes. The status quo or the options of the majority changes because the majority doesn't cause a big stink about peanuts. We never chose peanuts. It was just a thing that they gave us. But a small minority says, I can't eat and won't eat and won't be around peanuts. So now we all eat pretzels. So my wonder is, and I'll profess my level of ignorance on this. I've never seen a tuck swimsuit. I don't know how much material we're talking about or what it requires. But if it isn't much, how long until all swimsuits have tucking options? Like, will I even know? Like, would you know if you're a woman and you're buying a bikini and then you're like, what is this extra flap of material? I don't know. But I don't care. It's there. It doesn't bother me. You're in the majority. What's the big deal? Where the intransigent minority says, I better have my tuck and flap. And next thing you know, all of us have bathing suits with tucking material in it because, I don't know, what is that? I don't know. I don't care. Still fits right. Whereas the intransigent minority says, not only will I not buy your products if there's not a tucking option, but it's a civil rights issue. You know, you're a bigot if you don't have a tucking option. And next thing you know, like peanuts on an airplane or everything being kosher, the mass majority's options are that we all have tucking suits. I don't know. I just know the power of the intransigent minority, and there is no more intransigent minority in modern day America than the trans movement. So enjoy tucking.
We're going to step aside here for a moment. Stay tuned.
Story number three. Quick note from around the world of sports. Manchester City, my squad. I say with just a slight bit of shame because I do know how good they are. And I did come at this fairly late in the game, like, I don't know, 2013. Has won yet another English Premier League title. Manchester City won when Arsenal lost this weekend to Nottingham Forest, giving them the first championship in their quest for what they call the treble. You can win multiple championships in a year of different types, and everybody, Americans, like, that's ridiculous. It sounds like participation trophies. No, you're just playing in different leagues at the same time. There's a tournament going on called the FA Cup. They could win the FA Cup next week, and then the big one for Manchester City, because they never won it, the Champions League of Europe, where they just beat Real Madrid, and so they're in the finals against Inter Milan. It would be huge, win all three. They've never won the Champions League, and this team is magical. By the way, my youngest son is now playing striker. My sons love Kevin De Bruyne. He's the magician midfielder with the ability to see into the future with his passes. And so they both wear number 17, his number, when they play soccer. But my youngest son now has been moved from defender all the way up to the front line to striker. And so his new guy now is Erling Haaland. My son's really tall for his age, and he will be tall. Haaland's like 6'5", 200. I don't know how big how much he weighs. He's muscular, huge Viking from Norway. And he just physically dominates. He's fast. He's skillful. Physically dominates the opponent. So that's my son. He's tall. He likes to, like, he's physical. He does like to bang bodies. And so now he wants to be Erling Haaland, playing striker at the age of 12. So if you want to see really, really, really good soccer played, Manchester City is about as good as it gets. We're looking at one of the all-time teams right now with those early 2010s Barcelona teams. Tune in the next week or two and watch them take on Inter Milan. I think it's June 10th for the Champions League final, and you will see some of the best soccer, honestly, that's ever been played as a team. They are incredible. Hey, by the way, in the NBA, I wish I put a bet. I was out with my producer, James, the other night, and I really wish now I would have put a bet on the Miami Heat to win the NBA Finals because they were plus 1,700 at the time, and they're up 2-0 now on the Miami Heat because Jimmy Butler is just a man who won't be denied. And the Nuggets have got their 3-0 lead on the Los Angeles Lakers. The Nuggets deserve to win it all. They're the best team. They have been all season. They have been for a couple of seasons, finally put it together to win it all. But I would hate to be rooting. I'd hate to be a Boston Celtics fan. I would hate to be going up against Jimmy Butler because he doesn't look like he will be denied, and I wish I'd have placed that bet. I'm not saying they're going to win. Just a good bet on the Miami Heat. All right, that's going to do it for me today here on the Will Kane Podcast. I will see you again next time. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.